You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Dynasty Draft Room presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Searfoss, joined by always by my co-host, Eric Adams. Eric, how you doing today?
I am good. I am very hyped for this episode. I'm ready to get it on.
Awesome. Yeah. So tonight's episode, we'll be talking draft day rumors, Mythbuster style, seeing if we can, how much we believe in them and what we think of these. So remember, if you support the podcast, enjoy the show, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are. Come talk about these rumors, news, draft in our Discord station. And yeah, let's hop into it. But before we start everything, we're going to do our prospect of the week, which we've been really excited to start about, especially you, because I feel like you've been holding us back. But prospect of the week's Justin Fields. How are you feeling about Justin Fields?
It's time to clear the air here. Justin Fields is my QB2. Let me say that first and foremost. All right. And my 2 through 4 are extremely close, but Justin Fields deserves to be this QB2 in this class. To the people who are trying to put him over Trevor Lawrence, you got to stop. But Fields, when I went through the scouting group of the 2018 quarterbacks with Lamar, if you had some gripes about Lamar, I was allowing it, but I didn't see it on tape. And when he fell to 32, I'm like, that makes no sense. The NFL should be ashamed about that. And rightfully so, here we are 3 years later. They should be ashamed about that. If we're going to let this kid slide out of the top 10, forget the top 5. If he falls out of the top 10, that's egregious by the NFL. Like, yeah,
there's malpractice.
Yes. There's a coup going on here. Like, there's no reason this guy should be falling. I mean, he should be the pick at 3 to the Niners. And right now, where we're at, rumors pod, I'm confident because of these rumors, he's not the pick. Like, if they're going to pick a quarterback, which they are, it sounds like it's going to be either Lance or Jones. I don't know what Justin Fields did to these people. I don't know what people got against him. But let's get into his game. His game is nearly flawless. There's one thing I don't like about Justin Fields. He takes a lot of sacks. That was something that they said they wanted to work on going into last year. And it really, honestly, it didn't get better. He had problems in a lot of games where he took a lot of sacks. The Indiana game, for everyone brings that up, in the Northwestern game were the two worst games that he played. Look, even with the sack problems, it's nothing that cannot be fixed. He can definitely fix this with good coaching at the NFL level. They'll put him into a position to succeed. Just get him, if he ends up with a team with a good O-line. There's not enough here to make him drop. It makes no sense. So just I'm waiting for draft day. It's not here yet. He hasn't slid yet, but if he does, oh boy, we're going to have a field day on draft day.
Fields on field day. Got it. He's my QB3. It's really close, though. There's a couple flaws I saw with him. They weren't huge. He seemed to have a little bit of a problem handling snaps at times. Like, there were multiple games where you see him either fumble it, drop it. He had some issues handling that. Ball tended to float a little bit on him, which that's a quick mechanic thing they can fix. But other than that, man, he's good. He gets through multiple reads. He doesn't run first, which I saw on Twitter the other day. Some random scout said that he didn't run enough and he didn't use his athletic. Yeah, I saw that one the other day. He didn't run enough to use his athletic abilities. He's freaking electric.
He's very fast.
Yeah, but he goes through his progressions and he doesn't rush it. So when he has time, he stays in the pocket. because that's one of the things everybody's concerned about always with mobile quarterbacks. I like him in a quick read offense. I think his deep ball is good, more like floating, like floaters over the top than like bullets to the outside. But I mean, the worst case scenario, fantasy wise, he's a high end QB too, like a Ryan Tannehill esque guy who gives you both running and passing. He's like a souped up version of that. But he has QB one. He has QB one potential in fantasy. He can be a star. That like you put him in San, if San Francisco ended up picking him and has been lying to us, the way their run offense works and those quick receivers, he would flourish. It's so similar to what you see at Ohio State in the passing game. Mm-hmm. He would do so good there.
Absolutely.
He's going to make a team very happy. But, yeah, him being outside the top five is insane to me.
Since, you know, the 2018 class was the first time I really, you know, went in-depth scouting quarterbacks and other positions for that matter. So that means I scouted Dwayne Haskins, and hearing some people compare these two and say, oh, they're the same quarterback, that's one of the biggest insults I've ever heard. That's egregious. That's an egregious insult to Justin Fields.
I mean, Dwayne Haskins, one, he couldn't move at all.
Yeah.
It's literally because they went to Ohio State. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Like, and better.
The mental processing thing, I mean, oh my God. I had the same questions that those people had going into the Clemson game. This was after the Northwestern game. I'm like, I'm a little worried here. I want to see him really, you know, go through the reads, make the proper decisions. He nailed that Clemson game. I mean, he dominated. Yeah. He dominated. And it put all those questions to bed for me. And the fact that they're popping up now after we haven't seen him play football for so long, give me a break. Give me a break with that. This guy, let me tell you, if he falls past four, oh, man, that's bad. That's bad for the NFL.
It's literally like in the NBA, where, like his draft status right now feels like the NBA, where you could give LeBron the MVP every year, but you don't because it's boring. I feel like we've gotten to that point with Justin Fields. We got this brand new toy in Zach Wilson. We have all this, these exciting questions with Trey Lance because we haven't seen him against top tier competition.
Yep.
I feel like that's kind of in, and Mac Jones for some reason. But like, I feel like the shine off of Fields kind of wore off, and we just literally time was his only enemy.
Yep. People got restless. That is what happened. You are 100% correct.
That is literally it. They got restless and moved on. I don't think he falls out past like eight. I really don't.
I would be, if he fell out of the top 10, I'd honestly be stunned. I'd be shocked. That's just, oh boy, real bad.
It's crazy. We had a little bit of news this week. First one, again, leading with you, Julian Edelman retires. They did him right by how he left. How are you feeling?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Key piece of Dynasty 2.0 here. I'm avoiding the Hall of Fame talk. I'm going to continue to tell people that he's a Hall of Famer just to piss you people off, first and foremost. Getting away from that, this guy's tough as nails, man. He is a seventh round converted quarterback, and he turned into a Super Bowl MVP. There are a lot of motivational stories throughout sports. Julian Edelman is up there. He is very, very high up there. Let me tell you a story, Ryan. There was time in it was the off season of 2012. All right, the 2012 season just ended. Ravens just won the Super Bowl. There you go. You're excited. I'm sitting there. I feel like crap. We just lost in the championship game. Wes Welker. What makes me feel worse? Wes Welker leaves and goes to the Broncos. And I'm sitting here like, well, Peyton's got a super team over there. The Ravens are coming back strong next year. We got this is looking pretty bad. We signed Danny Amendola, who I wasn't honestly, I was not sold on at the time. And Edelman had a 4-year deal on the table from the Ravens, and he turned it down to return to the Patriots on a 1-year deal. Thank God. Thank God that man returned. He's unreal. Please stop discrediting him. I hate that he retired and we just all jumped to the conclusion that, oh, we're not doing the Hall of Fame thing. We're not. No, stop. Like, stop. Can we just stop for a second, take a breath, and realize this guy was unreal. Like, when your favorite team played the Patriots and Julian Edelman was suiting up, you hated him. You hated playing Julian Edelman. Yeah.
I hated playing Lansom.
Absolutely despised him.
The Hall of Fame thing I don't want to get into just because it's so overdone. Yes. And very opinionated about just the Hall of Fame and who gets in general. But he was so good. And fantasy-wise, he was like – he's the first, like, true, like, just PPR guy to me. Like, I feel like when PPR was getting hot, that's when Julian Edelman was the man. I remember him going, like, second round ADP. Mm-hmm. But that – I'd never say a good thing about him while he played. Because obviously Patriots. Now that he's gone, man, he was a great player. Hated playing against them. But yeah, I just don't play him in this movie. Hopefully, not Kevin James like Sean Payton.
Whoever decided that. I want to talk to that. I want to talk to that guy.
Yeah, going from Julian Edelman to his old buddy Tom Brady and his new running back weapon, Gio Bernard comes to the Bucs. And just causes more just delusion in that backfield. We now have playoff Lenny, Ronald Jones, Gio Bernard, and Keyshawn Vaughn, who they said was going to be a thing. It's a freaking nightmare. I want no parts of anything in fantasy with it. Any of them. Not a single thing. Not in DFS. Nothing. I don't want them.
Before the signing, we both said, just Tom Brady. After the signing, seriously, it's just Tom Brady. Do not touch anything else. This is getting, a little absurd. Yeah, it really is. People are viewing Gio as, like, the James White role in Tampa Bay. People, it's not that clear cut and dry. They're going to cycle these running backs. They will 100% cycle them. And to be honest, y'all didn't like drafting James White anyways. Whenever me and Matt brought that up, you didn't like it. You didn't like hearing that. You didn't want to, you had none of that when we brought that up. So I don't know who people are fooling themselves. Like, all of a sudden they like the James White role now. Like, calm down. They're literally like, Gio Bernard's going to pop off for 3 or 4 games. You're going to have to try and guess which one is the one he's popping off for. Let's not do that. So yeah, it's a mess now. Yeah. It's a mess.
And this is worse than we've seen Patriot situations with running backs, which I didn't know you could do. This is freaking worse.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Like, let's be real. Gio Bernard hasn't been a thing for a while. We don't even know how much he really has left to think.
I just think he's a nice depth piece. that'll have a few big catches throughout the year. That's what's going to happen.
He'll serve a role.
Yeah.
This one is actually kind of interesting for fantasy. And I like it. It's James Conner of the Cardinals. I feel like he's a good fit there. I think him and Edmonds are nice complementary pieces. Like, I don't think either one hurts the other's value in fantasy. Because Connor has that between tackle role. Edmonds is going to be more passing game, third down role. And we didn't want Edmonds getting 20 carries a game anyways. I think this is a good thing for both of them. Keeps them both fresh. You on that mindset or you hate it?
Oh, I definitely don't hate it. I like it if I'm an Edmonds guy, and I am an Edmonds guy. Look, if Connor can recapture what he had early in his career in Pittsburgh, that's a great signing. He fits very well with the Cardinals. Any running back's going to fit. Any running back that ends up in Arizona, we're all going to fall in love with. We're all going to be like, wow, look at that.
It's the AFC North retirement home over there.
pretty much.
But I feel like it's where players go to just finish.
It's hot there, though. It's going to be hot in that stadium. You better buckle up. Yeah, it's hot in the desert.
But no, I think they're both good. I think they're both good value.
I'll say this. If the only thing standing in Chase Edmonds' way of being, you know, a workhorse back, like a guy who gets a lot of work in Arizona and an Arizona offense led by Kyler Murray, the only thing that's holding him back is James Conner. I like that. I'll bet on Chase Edmonds then.
Because they only have, what, 5 draft picks? Like, they're one on the lower end of picks this year. And they probably don't want to raise the pick on a running back. And if they don't, and if this keeps them from getting Harris, Etienne, or Williams, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
That helps Edmonds. I think Connor going there is better for Edmonds than any of those guys.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. Right. So, any other Connor Arizona things?
Oh, no, no. No. Let's get to the meat and potatoes.
One thing with Connor, do you think he takes away from Murray's touchdowns? I think he's a big short yardage back. You don't think it hurts his rushing touchdowns at all?
I always side with the quarterback when they can run like that. I'll side with the quarterback every time.
Cool. Works for me. All right. So I went on Twitter, asked people to give me some of their favorite rumors they heard, and all of them are pretty good. So thanks for sending those on there. But we might as well start with this one because this involves everything we talked about tonight. One of them was the Patriots trade up to get Fields. Start of the year, is this realistic to you? Do you think the Patriots could trade up?
Let me get this off my chest real quick. To the people who are saying, it's very unlike the Patriots to trade up. Guys, they had Tom Brady for 20 years. They're not going to trade up for a quarterback. There's no quarterback now. What's the difference? There's no quarterback. We don't have any plan at quarterback right now besides Cam Newton hoping that Jimmy Garoppolo's price drops. So stop saying they've never traded up and using that for your argument. You sound stupid. You sound really dumb. It's not hard to connect the dots there. So that's out of the way, first and foremost.
Teams trading up happens for specific players. It's not something that happens that often.
Yeah. When it comes to draft history, throw that in the freaking crapper. I don't care about what happened in past drafts, to be honest. It bears no weight for me. It literally bears no weight. So for the Patriots here, if Fields is not the pick at 3, the Niners take Jones or Lance. I will say this. I've put this out there, and I really do believe this. The Patriots are not trading up for the 4th pick until draft night if they do it. If they were to trade up for pick number 4, I'm not saying they will, but if they were to trade up for pick number 4, or actually anyone for that matter, I'd feel confident enough to say it, whether it's Denver or one of the teams behind New England or even Minnesota maybe, I don't see anybody trading up to 4 until after the Niners make that pick, because I think the Niners are being secretive enough to make people hesitate. They don't want to have somebody trade up and then they're like, oh, actually, we are going to take Fields. And somebody's like, oh, well, now we got, you know, our junk in our hands and we're just basically left with nothing. We just traded a lot for the guy that we don't even want. So I don't see anybody trading up until after 49ers make that pick. That's my thought.
Good point. That's a really good call. There's a lot of rumors teams want to trade up for a quarterback. And San Fran's going to dictate a lot of that. Literally, you could have a team who's in love with any of the 3 quarterbacks realistically going there. They could love Lance, Fields, or Jones. Any team could do that. Any team could move up for them. But do you think the Patriots, that if they had the choice, it would be Fields?
From what I've heard, the most things I've heard, they like Fields the most. That's what I've heard. If you want to question my sources, I don't know, man. There's a bunch of people around New England that I've heard talk from. Some I really trust in. The biggest one is Field Yates. He's the one who basically, he has Patriots ties, and he came out and said, keep an eye on Justin Fields for the Patriots. And early on, they said they like Fields. If they're trading up, I'd imagine it's for Justin Fields.
Okay. Makes sense. Now, with number 3, there's also one of the other rumors. Mac Jones going to 3rd is all we've heard.
Yeah.
How much do you buy it? I'm at like 60%. I'm not that fully on it yet.
You know, I found it interesting that right when they made that trade, all we're hearing from all the NFL talking heads is, oh, it's for Jones. They really like Jones. Everyone's making the case. Now that we're getting closer and closer to the draft, hasn't it gotten a little quieter? I feel like it's gotten a little quieter about that. So now there's more of a question. There's more of a mystery surrounding it. I think it's like a 50-50 right now. Very tense time, because this is the pick of the draft. This is the one where it's like, yeah, well, the first two we know, the draft starts at 3. So if I had to guess right now who the third overall pick is, I'd put my money on Trey Lance. I think Lance is the guy.
Yeah.
I feel like they're being kind of secretive about that. Lance makes sense for what they said about Jimmy G, too. If they want Jimmy G to be the starter this year, you sit Trey Lance for a year, you let him learn the system. Makes sense to me. Jimmy G gets hurt, you put Lance in. I feel like if I had to guess, I would say Trey Lance. Yeah, if it's Mac Jones, that's just incredible.
If it's Mac Jones, that means the ego of Shanahan is so crazy. Essentially, yeah, going for a guy who does the same things that Jimmy G does. You're literally replacing. You're just taking a few years off and paying a lot more money for two, and hoping you can trade the other. Like, it doesn't make sense. Your ego is so big. That offense could be so explosive, adding a QB with some crazy mobility.
Yep.
You get Lance Fields there, it's amazing. Absolutely. Instead of the exact same thing we've seen. So I think we're gonna be shocked one way or another on draft night.
If they take Mac Jones, yeah, my brain will not. If they take Mac Jones, my brain's not gonna be able to comprehend it. It will break my brain, pretty much.
I don't even know what to do fantasy-wise with that if they get Mac Jones. Like, is everybody exactly the same then? It just adjusts once we see who he likes? Because if I see one of those other quarterbacks go there, I might bump those guys up.
Oh, absolutely. But
Mac Jones kind of keeps everything steady and wait and see.
Mac Jones. If Mac Jones is there, I would keep it steady. It would just there would be no change. It would just be what I think about him now, pretty much.
Yeah. Taking a slight bit in the QBs. Definitely going back to that because that's every freaking rumor. Yeah. This one boils my blood. I want it to happen because I hate the team, but I hate it for fantasy and it doesn't make sense in real life. That's Jamar Chase of the Bengals. I don't think Joe Burrow has that kind of say. I don't think your quarterback who's come off a terrible knee injury should want another receiver when they could protect him. This is insane to me. And it's super heavy as Jamar Chase to the Bengals. Like, why? You have T. Higgins. You have Boyd. It's not like you're without talent there. Protect this man.
You want to know what I heard? As an excuse to draft Jamar Chase, somebody was like, oh, it's a good offensive line class. We could just get some offensive line in the middle rounds. Do you understand what Penei Sewell will mean to your offensive line for the next, like, 15 to 20 years? Like, what are you – why? It's not hard, guys.
The positional hierarchy in the NFL goes quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher. Like, it's those three. Big gap. You're not going to pass up a franchise left tackle, especially on a class that was no edge rushers. Like, you're not going to pass up a franchise left tackle for a receiver, no matter if he becomes fully edge, which I'm not saying, but even if that, I'm not doing that. I don't see a Super Bowl win for Julio. Like,
if Penei Sewell wasn't as good of a prospect as he was, then you could talk me into it. If there's no Penei Sewell here and it's Rashawn Slater who's the top offensive lineman, I'll be Slater. Like, all right, well, maybe. But it's literally, guys, it's literally like this. I have this guy ahead of Pitts. He's literally the guy. He's my top rated player in the draft. He's that good at left tackle. You put him at left tackle, you don't have to worry about Joe Burrow's blind side for his entire career. Doesn't that sound nice?
That is that. And he's had your quarterback. Like New England's perfect example. They've kept their quote. They, when they had Brady, he was always upright. He never went down because they were locked down that offensive line. It didn't matter who the receivers were. It made a little guy like Julian Edelman a star because he had all the time to find him wide open in them holes.
Mm-hmm.
Protect Joe Burrow. I love Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is awesome. He's my favorite receiver in the class. I think he's a superstar, but nah, dude.
Gotta be Sewell.
So, prepare a couple. We kind of talked about the Patriots going up there. Atlanta's kind of the keys. And we said that San Fran's the keys to draft. Atlanta, man, they change everything.
Especially if Mac Jones is the pick of three.
Mac Jones is the pick of three. Or even Trey Lance. Like, Atlanta can ask for whatever they want.
They can.
Like, I can't see them staying in picking picks there at four. Like, you don't take a pick at four if your team is picking four. Maybe Sewell. I don't know, but Atlanta trading back has to happen. Washington's a team we're seeing a lot more of, especially recently. They were a good team last year. They just didn't have a quarterback.
That's a long way to go.
It is a long way to go. I know Fitzmagic's the perfect grandpa for the quarterbacks to play under.
I think Fitz would be bad if they did that, to be honest. This is what, the third, fourth year of him having a guy like that behind him?
Yeah. He knows his role in the league, man. I think it's great. You'd be awesome, have a beard, gold chains, throw for a few touchdowns, get the ladies, go back to the bench, relax, have everybody complain that they want you in the game. It's life, dude.
He wasn't happy about it last year. I think he'd be pissed. I think he'd be pissed, dude. He was pissed last year. He was not happy when he got benched for Tua. He's like, this doesn't make sense. I don't know behind him. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's probably going to lose his mind, but their team is they're not quite a quarterback way, but they're getting closer for being a legit contender if they have a QB.
I think they are a legit contender if they get a QB. I believe in that defense. Yeah. They're good. They're good.
Good. The QB comes in with the chlorine. Who they just grabbed for AMC? My brain just stopped.
Curtis Samuel.
Curtis Samuel. That's some electric players there. Yeah.
Antonio Gibson.
It's a good team. I like Logan Thomas. He was solid last year. It's not a bad situation to go to if you're a young quarterback.
Nope. And they retained the guard Scherf too.
It looks real similar to Miami situation.
Yeah.
Where they had a really good team, Fitzmagic, and could bring a rookie quarterback. Other team, which I feel is also may not be the four, but Vikings, there's rumors about them trading up for a quarterback. I don't know, I fully believe in that.
I think they've been a little too quiet. Because that does make sense to me. The Vikings should debate. Like, if they like Fields or Lance enough, go get one of them. You're not a terrible team. I would love to see how Zach feels about this. Because I'm sure he likes Fields and Lance. But
like, is Kirk Cousins your biggest problem on that team, though?
No, he's not. There are factors working against the Vikings doing this. That's the thing.
So his contract can't cut him this year. So this makes but his dead cap's not bad next year. So right now his cap hit this year is $31 million. His dead cap's $41 million.
So that's
it's more money to get rid of him than keep him. The next year, his cap is $45 million. Dead cap's $10 million. So cutting him makes sense next year. So that's a possibility.
They did work that in. Yeah.
So it's not. I guess it's not that crazy, but I feel like this team needs a lot. You have the receivers. You have Dalvin. You don't have a ton of defensive players left. They've fallen off quick. It seems they're going to tumble, and a lot of it's Kirk Cousins' fault in that contract.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a little too many. There's too many factors working against them. Like, it's, yeah, like, it'd be nice. I'm sure Minnesota fans would love it. But, I mean, it's, they're a team where if Fields falls to 14,
yeah,
then take them. But I don't think they're going to mortgage picks here. They do need some work on the roster. So,
I mean, their offensive line, I don't even know anybody on it.
Oh, I couldn't tell you one offensive line on that team.
Barry, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Nope. Honestly, defense pretty bad. Corners are glad me and Patrick Peterson forgot they got him. But, like, this team needs a lot.
I don't think Gladney would be there. It'd be nice
for a rookie quarterback to have those receivers in Dalvin.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. That's right.
It'd be a nice landing spot.
Yeah, but it's just not – it'd be a nice landing spot, but this team, that's not their need now to mortgage a whole roster to get a franchise quarterback right now when you can have a chance to get one next year.
I agree. I agree with that.
I think – do you think what – Washington, Patriots, I think, have the best chance to trade up for QB. Anybody else you think would or could?
I mean, Denver's there, but everything we're hearing is that Denver really wants to give Drew Lock another chance here. I mean, you had the report come out that I saw Ben Albright tweeted out, and he said the Broncos' offer for Matthew Stafford was pick 9 for Stafford in a second, and the Lions countered by adding Drew Lock, and Denver said no. That tells me a lot about what Denver thinks of Drew Lock. They really want to give him a fair shake then. So, I mean, everyone's been kind of propping Denver up to take a quarterback, and it doesn't seem like Denver's actually, like, confirming it. That's the thing. That's what I've been seeing, just reading the tea leaves of NFL Network and ESPN here. So,
I think this is one we've seen more of a fantasy Twitter rumor that everybody wants than real football.
Yeah. Yeah. It does feel like that.
There was a lot going on for Lock last year. And everybody, like, he got drafted, people knew Drew Lock was a developmental quarterback.
Like, I thought he stunk, but it's whatever.
But nobody thought he was going to come in and light the world on fire. But he could develop. I think they'll give him a fair shake. He has weapons around him. They keep him healthy, keep the line healthy. It's best case scenario. If not, you pick a lineman or defensive player that they need corners really badly. You pick that there. Your roster's more sound for QB coming. But yeah, that's what I don't buy right now. I don't think they're taking a quarterback. How likely a team could trade back and accumulate picks? They're in a perfect situation to do that.
They could. If I had to bet, I would say.
If I were to bet, that'd be one I could see the Patriots trading with. To move up there,
get Trey Lance. I don't know if Denver wants to give us our next quarterback for the next 10 years. I don't know about that. If the Patriots are moving up, I think it's going to be either to Atlanta at 4, Detroit at 7, or Carolina at 8. Or maybe Dallas at 10. I don't think Denver would take our call. Just dodge.
If they're offering up picks, man, it don't matter.
That's true. Capital is king. And then what about if the Falcons just stay there at 4 and take a quarterback themselves?
The Falcons aren't taking a quarterback.
Me and you are very on. Me and you are very in agreement on this. I don't think it's doable. That contract extension for Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan in general is good. Let's not be real. Matt Ryan is a lock for 4,400 yards, 26 to 30 touchdowns, low interception totals. He's 9 out of the last 10 years, he's thrown for 4,500 yards.
I don't think anybody's saying he's good.
Only year he isn't was in 2017, where he threw for 4,095. I think he missed games that year. Like, Matt Ryan's been nothing but consistent. He doesn't miss games. That team needs a lot. And Matt Ryan's not the issue. They're stupid if they stay there. If they take Sewell, that's great. That's the only thing I can. I don't love Kyle Pitts there, which we should be adding him next, but it just doesn't make sense.
They do. They should trade back.
We talk about this. They should trade. Like, you have to trade back. You have too much of an opportunity there. And said Matt Ryan signed through 2021. He's $26 million. You want to hear some dead cap money? This year, if he's got $70 million. Next year, if he's got $40 million.
Yeah,
2023, $15 million.
That is not. That's not doable.
Matt Ryan's their quarterback.
Yeah.
Let's just. It's.
There's. I put it at less than 5% chance that they take a quarterback there. 100%.
If I had to bet about a team trading back or being a trade for this in the first round, it's them.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I feel very confident about that bet.
Yeah. And you're right. Like, look, Lance or Fields is going to be on the board at 4. They could sell that for a bounty. It's just going to have to happen.
Yeah.
I expect to have it happen on draft night, not beforehand, like the Niners did here.
You get 2 firsts and a 3rd right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Like, thank you.
And it's huge. That's huge for a franchise. But it's going to happen. I don't like Pitts there. If they traded back and took him, I'd be fine with it. Like, if they moved back to that 7 to 10 range and took him, I'd be fine with it. I think they need more, but then I'd be cool with it. But where they are, I don't buy that rumor. With Kyle Pitts, big ones we've heard, there's 3 teams you keep hearing with them. Cards and the Cowboys. Apparently Jerry Jones just is infatuated with him, his words.
Shocker.
And Kyle Pitts thought that was cool because he wants to kill our fantasy value. Cardinals are rumored to want to trade up for Pitts, which is – if it's one of those 2 teams, that's – whoever gets him is in competition with the most explosive offense in the league, and Dallas is already there.
Look.
If he goes to the start of Dallas, I want to talk about this fantasy-wise. He goes to Dallas. What's that do for CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, even Zeke? Like, what's that do for you? Like, I feel like everybody takes a hit. Like, your market share that was 20% might go down to 18. It's not huge, but that's wide receiver 1 that we're taking. CeeDee Lamb at is getting drafted a 7th receiver overall off the board. Mark Cooper, the 14th overall. It takes them both down a tier if you take away 1 to 2% of their market share and 2 touchdowns each from the guys to go towards Pitts. Like, I don't think he takes every frame, but I think he just hits everybody just a little bit on that offense.
You're right. You're right.
Like,
it's good for Dak. We'll say that.
Oh my god, that tell me you mentioned this before. Dax in that QB conversation, if that happens.
I agree. And let me tell you right now, man. If Jerry's interested, I think Pitts is gonna be a Cowboy. If I had to bet right
Jerry
now, I think Pitts will be a Cowboy. That's all I needed to hear because it makes no sense. They have other holes on the roster. There's plenty of other really good players that they could take there. Hello, J.C. Horn. And they're just like, no. Let's get another weapon for Dak. Makes no freaking sense.
Why not fix one of the NFL's worst defenses? This is making it more exciting.
Yep.
Which I respect.
Let's just make sure we have to score 40 to have a chance to win. That's
Jared's thinking.
Yeah.
Sell tickets, Jerry. But yeah, I love it in Arizona. I mean, it doesn't hurt anybody there. He's a star there. It's phenomenal for Kyler. But that would be the ideal landing spot. And the other team, which I haven't heard of them trading up, but very interested, is the Chargers. And I love that. That's him and Herbert, man, for the next decade.
That would work.
Sticking with Chargers, like Rivers had Gates for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Get Herbert that.
I would be
those great landing spots.
If I had to pick, I would choose Los Angeles. I would love to see him in Los Angeles with Herbert. That would be my ideal.
I think that's the best for everybody. Yeah, I think that's the best for fantasy-wise. I think it's best for the team. I think it's best for the young quarterback who needs it. Like, it would be huge for those other two, but he doesn't have that true wide receiver one like those other two have, and he makes Kyle Pitts that. Like, Kyle Pitts is locked top five, dynasty, tight end, borderline top three or four.
Yep.
Like, that puts him, like, your debate – that had you debating him or Mark Andrews.
He's more so than the receivers. He's the guy for fantasy where him, the quarterbacks, and Najee Harris. I think Pitt's number.
Okay. Pitts goes to the Chargers, and everybody has like average landing spots. Where's Pitts moving your rookie draft?
I can't do that. You can't tell me average. What's the average landing spot? Like, where does Najee Harris go? Give me a team.
Like, somewhere even, oh, that's fine. See, I feel like Pitt. I don't even know.
I can't do it if I don't know the landing spot. I need to.
That's hard.
That's a big deal. Like, say Najee's in Miami, because that's a realistic one. Miami, okay. Najee in Miami. Najee in Miami or Pitts to the Chargers? I probably
think I'm taking Pitts over Najee no matter what.
You think you're taking Pitts over Najee, period?
I don't think I'm taking Pitts over Najee. Yeah, Najee's my one.
He's your guy.
But passing up at the end, I think Stable, maybe Chase, that'd be hard for me. But anybody else, man, I could see him being my 1.03 in on Superflex.
I could dig that. Oh man, that's
crazy.
That is the most impactful fantasy landing spot.
It's huge, yeah. So I'll be rooting for that draft night.
Yeah.
We mentioned Najee. So let's jump into this heaviest team we've heard mentioned with all running backs is the Steelers. Heard they've met with Najee, Javonte Williams, Travis Etienne, but Najee is the one that keeps sticking out there. And if he won the 20s in the drafts, I could see Steelers possibly making that pulling that move. Except for they'd have to take him. Fantasy wise, I love it. Do you think it's realistic?
Honestly, I don't actually. I think very highly of what Pittsburgh does drafting wise, and honestly, I don't know, man. I look at what they got on offensive line. This is a pretty nice offensive line class. You find some good players in the 20s for that offensive line. I feel like Pittsburgh's going to keep it in the trenches there. If they can get an offensive lineman there or like a Quiddy Pay there, maybe him. I just can't see the Steelers spending a first-round pick on a running back. I really can't do it. I know Najee is really, really good, but it's one of those things where I would have to see it to believe it. I get the fit.
They've had really bad running back issues for a few years now.
Yeah,
and a lot of things are deteriorating. Huh?
Ever since Bell left. Yeah.
Yeah, so said. Yeah, I can't see them picking a running back in first, and their fans may freak out before they're happy about it. But they're picking in the 20s in the second round. There's a big drop-off after these three running backs. Like, I don't want to say it, but you don't have an every down back there. And are you really comfortable rolling in with Benny Snell and Michael Carter as your running backs?
Probably not.
Or
probably.
Benny Snell and Kev Gainwell? Is that what you want? Do you want to fill in a decent lineman and have that's where the disconnect is? Because there is such drop off at the position. The line's really deep.
But, yeah.
I don't know. Steelers are a wild card. I love the landing spot for any of those three. I like that landing spot for any of the three running backs, even though I think Javonte Williams is redundant there.
It's fair. It's open. It's an open running back spot, so we would like it if somebody got there.
Yeah. Ravens are rumored two names every time, Terrace Marshall, Rashad Bateman. As a fan, I'd be ecstatic either way. I think they're both a really good fit. I know Bateman shrunk, but Bateman still gives up and gets the ball. He can win 50-50 balls. He has that deep element to speed. Terrace Marshall's a monster. He's going to win all the – he's going to be that red zone threat on the outside. I'm leaning towards Lakey Marshall there more. And I don't buy the – no matter what receiver bulk we're taking, he's going to soak in fantasy. Because we're talking about – we're rolling the team with Willie Sneed, just number two receiver in targets. And couldn't get open or catch the ball. And Miles Boyd can just block, can't run around. Like, just because it hasn't happened yet, because there's a lack of talent, doesn't mean it should. He's Hollywood Brown's he's a strip field stretcher. He's not a high volume guy. They need Marshall or Bateman for that offense to really open up. And them going there, I don't see that as a kiss of death fantasy wise.
Are they going to trade Orlando Brown Jr.?
Dude,
can lay here.
Listen, if Orlando Brown Jr. doesn't get traded by the draft, he's not getting traded.
I don't agree with that. I still think they could trade him after the draft. I've seen it happen. That's why. it's happened.
I've seen it happen too, but yeah, 2 years. Say they get one of these star receivers. That's a contending team. You're not going to give away a right tackle, no matter how fucking, no matter how unhappy he is. Like, you can't do it unless you get an absurd bounty for him. But if you did it before the draft, you can recoup it during the draft. That's different. You're having to have a hard time filling out a roster that late in the season. That's why I don't think it happens after the draft. I mean, I fully believe in everything Eric Costa does, but
the only reason I'm bringing it up, man, is because I'm looking at that O-line. I'm not sold on that O-line in Baltimore. I want to protect Lamar. We're talking about protecting Joe Burrow. I don't believe they can protect Lamar that well. I'm not sold on the interior. I think if Orlando's there, then it'll quell some of my fears. But if Orlando Brown's not there, you got four spots I'm looking at that I'm like, that's not that good. You're going to have Lamar running for his life.
That was nice.
Right. Okay, I forgot.
You still got Stanley and Zeiler. That's solid. I think Bozeman's a monster. Like, he's somebody who's really coming up. Center, I'm worried about. Like, I don't know if I'm fully there, Merrickai. But, yeah, Orlando Brown, I can't see it, man. Like, I know he wants traded, and I know, like, he's the legacy there. And they want to be right by him. But this is a team that's trying to contend for a Super Bowl. You can't give away a all-pro tackle.
So then what happens?
Unless it's for an absolute haul. Huh?
Then what happens?
Huh? He's stuck there. He leaves a free agency, man, a year from now.
All right. That would be
– and they regret it a little
that
bit.
That would be the best case for Baltimore, so.
Yeah.
That's the only
thing. Can't – it has to happen before the draft. If it happens after draft, I'd be very upset.
All right.
Do you think Terrace Marshall or Bateman can perform fantasy-wise for the Ravens?
I agree with you. I hate when people bring that up. I hate when people are like, oh, no, don't go to the Ravens. And then they throw in the, oh, it's a run-heavy scheme. It's like, dude, they have two guys who I'd want to throw the ball to and then some running backs. So, like, what are we
doing? Yeah, we're ecstatic when a receiver goes to the Jets.
Yeah.
Like, there's much more quarterbacks you can let to. Yeah.
If Marshall or Bateman landed in Baltimore, I'd be hyped. I'd be totally ecstatic about that. If they take Kadarius Toney, oh my good God, I'm so far out.
They need to take. It has to be a big-bodied receiver.
Yeah, like, it that's better it. Be.
Big-bodied guy.
Yeah, And that's the range for Marshall and Bateman. So I'd be on board with that. Like, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I think one of them's realistic. If not, I think they go edge. Last one we have, should have hit before, was with Dolphins taking a running back at 18 with their second pick.
Where's their second round picks? Do they have a high second round pick?
I'll look.
Because picking in the range of like a Javonte Williams. I think something, I don't know, man. It just goes with what I have to say about running backs and how I feel about running backs. They're not important. I don't want to spend pick 18 in the draft on a running back. I don't care how good Najee Harris is. Like, I have such a problem with first round running backs. It's a 5-year contract and you're locked in with a running back. You're making that running back one of the highest paid running backs in the league right then and there. That's not okay.
Especially 18.
Yeah. So
they pick 6. Yeah, they're right in that Javonte Williams range at 36.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, could they?
So sure. You could take. Yeah, you could have a really good draft. They pick 6, 18, 36, 50. So they have 4 top 50 picks.
Yep.
And if you wanted to move up to get Williams at the end of the first, I bet you could. But yeah, I don't see one at 18.
If no I had how to much guess, I'd say Najee with. Yeah.
No, especially the team who's been pretty smart in this new rebuild. You have an ex-Patriots coach who's not fall for running backs and believe in running back by committee. Like, I don't know. I'm just not there. I'm not buying that one.
Yeah. If I had to say right now, I'd say no. There's more important positions to take at 18.
I'd love to see Etienne go there at 36, honestly. That's an explosion of that offense.
Yeah. For any of the three, I'd love the landing spot. But I just don't want it at 18. It's a problem.
Yeah. Any other rumors we missed, do you think of? We're running late on time.
Yeah, I think we covered the whole board here. I think we're ready to go.
Yeah, I left the crazy one off there just because it didn't make sense.
I don't want to mention it. For the sake of our fans.
But awesome, guys. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Dynasty Draft Room presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. And remember, enjoyed the show, tuned in, please leave us a 5-star review. It's how they keep us happy. So catch you next week and see you then.
Later, taters.